Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy and Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by Jim Booth. Jim joined Grandy & Associates in 1991 after having been the sales manager for a multi-location wholesaler for over 15 years. Jim has a master's degree in marketing from the University of Colorado and has developed and presents three of the six seminar workshops presented by Grandy & Associates to contractors across the country. In addition to seminars, Jim works one-on-one with contractors developing marketing plans, brochures, and newsletters. Today's tape will begin with a brief overview of how to develop a marketing plan, after which Jim will share specific ideas on how to use direct mail effectively.
There's a concept in marketing called the four P's and an S. Four P's stand for the products that you sell to the marketplace. The second P is the way you price your products. The third P is the way you place or distribute your products. And the fourth P is the way you promote your products. We've got price, we've got a product, we're going to promote it, we're going to place it, and we're going to service the customer. These are the four P's and an S. Now, before we get into discussing direct mail and how it can work for your company, as this edition of the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month with Grandy & Associates, I'd like you to ask yourself five questions. Answer five questions that I'm going to ask you. First question about your business is, what are your financial goals for your company? Second question I'll have you ask yourself is, which group of customers do you have right now which will best help you meet these goals for your company? Third question is, how do you currently market to this group of customers? Fourth thing we need to ask yourselves is, how much do you have available to spend on marketing? And the fifth thing is, how do you currently monitor your marketing efforts? Now, think about your business for a second. We've got a customer base that we're dealing with right now. We've got some financial goals in mind. And I want you to look at the financial goals that you've got right now. There's probably two of them that are paramount. One of them is you want to increase sales, and possibly the other one is that you'd like to improve or increase profits. You may be doing about $1 million a year in sales, and you've decided that you'd like to do about $1.2 million next year, or about a 20% increase. How do you achieve this 20% increase? I can think of four ways that you can do this. You can raise your prices, and if your customer base does not object, you can get an increase in sales this way. You can lower your prices. Another strategy is to sell more volume but at a lower price. It's a good strategy if it works, if you can maintain cut your costs and so on. A third strategy you can use to increase sales is you can find new customers, can't you? It's always exciting to find new customers. These people don't know who you are. They've never dealt with you before. They don't know what your bad habits are. They're fresh faces. It's always fun to have somebody new call you and ask for service or for products. It's tough to find new customers. Research indicates that it's five times as expensive to find a new customer as it is to keep an existing one. Now, the fourth way that I find that we can increase sales is to sell more to our current customer base. Your current customer base is probably the most important asset that you've got. You could argue that your personnel are the most important asset, but we know that people come and go during the year, and they're tough to hold on to because of the competition out there. But your customer base is such an important asset. These are people that have dealt with you before. They're going to deal with you again for some reason, whatever reason they've decided on. And it's very important to make sure that you're selling as much as you can to your current customer base. I asked you what your financial goals are, and I said one of them might be to increase sales. The other goal that you might have would be to increase net profits. How do we increase net profits? Well, there's four ways we can take a look at this. One way to increase net profits is to reduce overhead. Another way is to cut direct costs. Maybe we start taking discounts from our suppliers, or maybe we'll work with our suppliers to get a better price on products that we purchase. A third way to improve net profits is to raise prices. And a fourth way is really to sell more to existing or current customer base. Two things come out of this that I can see. One of them is that you need to find new customers if you want to improve sales and increase profits, or you need to look at your current customer base and sell more products to these customers who are already dealing with you. We've come up with two goals. You're looking at your company and you've decided that you want to increase sales, you want to increase net profits. And the second question I asked you to take a look at is which group of customers will best help you meet these goals? You really have three markets that you market to. Your customer base that you currently deal with, those who have never dealt with you before, and a third and probably one of the most important markets is the fact that your employees are a customer also. And by this I mean that you need to market your employees on a regular basis. You need to let them know what your policies are for your company, for callbacks, for warranties, for credits, how do we handle customer complaints. You need to let your employees know what your operating philosophy is. They need to know why you price your products the way you do and why you pick the certain products that you do to market to the public. Wide variety of things that you need to spend time with your employees on, letting them know what's going on, because the odds are you'll never be able to make anywhere near the number of contacts that your employees can, either over the phone or out in the field when they're performing service work or installations. So it's very important to market to your employees. We've got two other customer bases that we deal with. When I spoke about these for a second ago, we talked about the current customer base and the people that have dealt with you in the past or are currently dealing with you. Now, the question might be coming up, why do I need to spend time or money marketing to the people that deal with me already? Why should I have to worry about these people? They're calling me already. They know who I am. They seem to be happier. They would have called somebody else. But why do I need to worry about marketing to these people? Well, I can think of five reasons why you should deal with your current customer base as a strong marketplace, a strong market to market to. First thing is, you need to thank your customers for their business. Not just sending them a card is going to do it in a lot of cases. You need to maybe send them questionnaires. You need to talk to them on the phone. It may be a personal visit. But somehow you need to let your customers know that you appreciate their business. A research was done 5 or 6 years ago, and they found that if 100 people dealt with your company last year and they decided not to deal with your company this year, why did they not decide to choose your company again? Well, I'd ask you to list some reasons. You might come up with something like the fact that maybe the price was too high and they found somebody else at a lower price. Maybe there was a problem with your service tech out on the job or somebody in the office rubbed your customer the wrong way. Maybe the product failed and you had to go back on a warranty call or a callback. Maybe your service techs put some dirt on the rug and didn't clean it up or left a dirty workplace. These reasons are legitimate, and out of the 100 people that wouldn't deal with you, the only 33% of the time, or 33 out of 100 customers, would use these excuses for not dealing with you again. The majority of the people that don't deal with you again, the main reason, 67% of the time, is the fact that they don't think you gave a darn about their business. You didn't do anything to let them know that you thanked them for that service call or for that installation. You didn't send them a thank you card or a letter or made a phone call or a personal visit. It's very important to let your customers know that you appreciate their business and that you want to have more business, you want referrals, everything like this. It's so darn important to let them know that you appreciate this. That's the first reason why we need to market to our customers. Take a look at another reason. Do all of your customers know what you have available in the way of products and services? Probably not. I know in the wholesale business with heating and air conditioning industry, the products are continually changing, and it's very important to let your customers know what the new technology is and what products are available that will help them with their business or either their home or their commercial office building. So you need to let your customers know about new services. You also need to let your customers know, or you need to keep in touch with your current customer base, because they probably haven't bought everything from you that they possibly can. Do they have service agreements? Do they have the new products that are available? Do they have a wide variety of things that you have available that maybe they're only buying one thing? For instance, if you're doing plumbing work, maybe they don't know that you have sewer cleaning, that you offer a wide variety of services they haven't used before. A fourth reason to deal with your customer base is you want to keep them as customers. We want to let them know that we do appreciate their business and we want to keep our customers calling us. Putting something in their hands on a regular basis is going to help this. And the fifth thing, the main reason we want to keep with our contact with our current customer base is because we've got this database already. And we don't have to go out and buy a database. We've got an existing customer base that we can market to on a regular basis. So we're talking about the two groups of customers that we really deal with, the people that we deal with on a regular basis right now, and I just gave you five reasons why we need to deal with them and put something in their hands in the way of a marketing piece. The other group that we need to market to, if you decide to, as part of your strategic objectives, is we need to market to potential customers, people who have never dealt with us before. And again, it's fun to find new customers because they don't know about our bad habits. They know that they maybe don't know about the products or services we have to offer, and they're new faces. It's nice to have new faces coming into the business. Let's review where we are right now. I asked you to identify your financial goals for your company, and we decided that one might be to increase sales, the other one might be to increase net profits. And I asked you, which form of customer do you have of the two that you really have, your current customers or people who have never dealt with you before? Which of these two customer bases will help you meet these objectives that you set for yourself for financial goals? A third question is, what are you currently doing to market to these two customer bases that you've got? Well, I find in the service industry, a lot of contractors spend a lot of money and time on Yellow Pages, and there's a lot of advantage to Yellow Pages. Of course, it's going to depend on the type of business you've got. If you're doing residential work, Yellow Pages are probably a lot more important than if you're doing commercial work. It'll depend on the nature of business, of course. But the Yellow Pages have got several strong advantages. One of them is the fact that if I'm a current customer and I deal with your company and I'm looking for your phone number and your name, I know your name, but I can't remember your phone number, I can look under the heading in the Yellow Pages of your industry, whether it's heating, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, landscaping, carpet cleaning, and I can identify your name and I can give you a call and get your products and services. A second advantage of Yellow Pages is we know that if people open the Yellow Pages, research indicates that 90% of the time they are ready to buy. This means that you've got an active market. These are people that have opened the book, they're ready to buy. If they can't remember your phone number, they've looked it up in the book under the heading you're located in, and they're going to give you a call. Another advantage is the fact that Yellow Pages allow you to place a different size ad than your competitors. They allow you to put in two colors. You can put in photos. You can put in a list of products and services that you handle. You maybe even have the Yellow Pages people place the ad in a particular page, maybe on the lower right-hand side or right side of the book when you open the book. So there's some distinct advantages to Yellow Pages, and I find that a lot of contractors turn to this first, and it's a good resource. There are disadvantages to the Yellow Pages. First disadvantage is the fact that Yellow Pages can be very expensive. Another disadvantage is the fact that Yellow Pages cannot be changed for an entire year in most cases. Once you place that physical ad, you're not going to get a chance to change that ad until the next year. And a third big disadvantage is the fact that if I've never dealt with your company before and I'm looking for a service company to handle my service needs, I open the Yellow Pages under that heading, all your competitors are listed with your ad. And depending on what attracts my attention in the way of color or placement or size of the ad, or maybe the fact that your competitor is located in my neighborhood, this is going to work as a disadvantage of you. So keeping this in mind, you need to be aware of the fact, obviously, that there's other ways to market your company. And we're talking about marketing our company to our current customer base and to those people who have never dealt with us before. You can tie it in with radio, TV, cable, billboards, newspapers, anything like this, coupon books, anything that will make up what we call your marketing mix. And you've got to determine where your dollars are going to be best spent for something to spend on your marketing. Now, the form of media that I want you to look at right now and I think has the most advantage over any of these is form of media called direct mail. Now, what is direct mail? Well, direct mail, in my definition, is any brochure, newsletter, coupon book, flyer, physical sample, anything that you as a contractor can send by UPS, by Federal Express, by Airborne, or by United Postal Service to the homeowner or the business. Think of all the direct mail that we receive every day. It's all part of the whole package of what you call direct mail. What is junk mail? Well, that's a good question. I think, in my definition, probably anything which we discard with little thought or time we'd call junk mail. I've asked you three questions to think about with your business so far. What are your financial goals? How can you best meet these goals with your existing customer base? How do you currently market to this group? And we determine that in a lot of cases you're using Yellow Pages to market to this group. A fourth question I'd have you ask yourself, before we get into detail on direct mail, is how much do you have available to spend on marketing? Now, you sit down and you take a good hard look at what your efforts were last year and how much you spent and what you got in way of return for your efforts. There's probably four ways that contractors come up with a budget for their marketing expenditures. First thing, normally a contractor will maybe take a look at it, marketing expenditures as a percentage of sales. Now, unfortunately, there's no strong guidelines on what you should spend as a contractor to market your company. You'll read different sources, and they say anywhere from 3 to 7% of total sales should be expended as your marketing budget. I know of contractors that spend maybe over $100,000 a year just on Yellow Pages alone. And in their mind, they've justified that expenditure. And that might be on sales of $1 million to $1.5 million. So you're looking at 7.5 to 10% of their total sales as a budget. A second way to take a look at how much you should budget for marketing is maybe estimate what your competition spends. You've got an idea. You take a look at how many ads they run in the Yellow Pages and the newspapers, on radio and so on. You know what the cost is to do this marketing, and you've got an idea how much they spend. A third thing you should look at, and when putting together your budget, maybe the way you do it, is to take a look at what you can get in the way of co-op money from your suppliers and your manufacturers. Now, I know in the heating air conditioning industry, a lot of times you're being approached by your suppliers and by the manufacturers to market the products, the equipment that you sell, the accessories like humidifiers, air cleaners, thermostats, and things like this. So whatever industry you're in, there's probably some co-op dollars available. A fourth way that I see that contractors put together a budget is by the seat of their pants. And probably 80% of you out there are spending this way to put together a marketing budget. You're sitting down, you got a ballpark figure maybe in your mind what you're going to spend. Somebody comes in and says, we've got a great deal. We'll give you 20 spots on the radio. We'll tie it in with competitors or contractors in your area that are not competing with you. We'll run these ads 4 or 5 times a day for 3 or 4 weeks, and it's going to cost you so many dollars to get involved with this program. And you decide, this is a great way to go, so I'll do that. But the important thing is that take a good look at what you can budget and you're comfortable with, and then my last question that I'd ask you before we get into discussion of direct mail is, how do you currently monitor your marketing efforts? Important question is, how do you monitor your calls coming in? Or do you monitor the calls coming in? If you're not doing this already, I strongly suggest you start tomorrow, because the dollars that you spend on marketing are so doggone expensive and so hard to come by that you've got to know where your dollars come from in the way of sales and how effective your marketing efforts are. There's a contractor I deal with in North Denver that monitors every call that comes in. He's put together on a spreadsheet, and he can tell you what it cost him per call and how many dollars he generated in sales per call, whether he advertised in Yellow Pages, radio, TV, billboards, direct mail, whatever. He's got a real good feel for what it's cost him to put this advertising together and to put it together for the marketplace. So you've got to monitor your calls. And one of the things you're going to do, and one of the questions that I'm asking you is, how are you going to monitor in the future the marketing efforts that you've put together? We've discussed 5 questions. We've asked you to take a look at the budget that you can put together. How many dollars can you spend on marketing? We asked you to take a look at how you're going to monitor the or measure your marketing efforts. We've taken a look at the marketplace, how you're currently marketing to your customers. And you look at the 2 types of customers that you really deal with, people you deal with on a regular basis and those you've never dealt with before. And going all the way back to the first question, how does this all tie in to your financial goals for your company? Now, one of the most exciting ways to market your company anymore is direct mail. I'm not talking junk mail. I'm talking something that somebody's going to take time to look at and maybe hold on to. And there's 5 distinct advantages to direct mail that I can find, and I'd like to discuss each of these right now. First distinct advantage is the fact that, unlike Yellow Pages and other forms of media, you can target the specific audience you want to receive your marketing piece to. By this I mean that when we buy a Yellow Pages ad or a radio or a TV ad or a billboard or something, we're hitting the entire marketplace. And in some cases, this may be what you're looking for. But if it's not, if there's a specific market you want to go after, it's almost a waste of money to advertise to people that aren't going to buy your products and services. So direct mail allows us to target a specific market, and we'll go after that specific market with our direct mail piece. The second strong advantage of the fact of direct mail is the fact that you can change this every time you send one out. Now, once we put a Yellow Pages ad in the book, we can't change it for a year, can we? But with a direct mail piece, whether we send it out monthly, quarterly, twice a year, whatever, we can change the physical content of that piece. We can change the colors, the type of paper we use, the copy that we write, the graphics that we put in there. Everything about that piece you can change whenever you send it out. Third advantage of direct mail is the fact that your cost per piece can be very low. Now, if you're sending out anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 pieces to your customer base, your cost might run anywhere from 35 to 50 cents per piece, which is specifically pretty low when you think about it. Let's say you've got 3,000 customers in your customer base that you want to contact on a regular basis, and you've decided that you want to do this four times a year, and it costs you 50 cents a piece. That's only $2 per customer to put something in their hands four times a year that's going to give them some kind of an impression about your company. The fourth advantage of direct mail is the fact that you can include an offer in your direct mail piece. Now, normally this is in the form of a coupon, and it's something that's going to have some value for the customer that they're going to hold on to and use as soon as they get the direct mail piece, or maybe use at a later date. But a coupon is something that's going to keep them interested in your company. And this might be something they pass on to a neighbor, which would be good also. But it's a way to get your customer to at least read your direct mail piece and to hold on to it, hopefully. The fifth advantage of direct mail is that it's very easy to measure the results of your advertising. Now, if you're not tracking your calls coming in already, how do you know how effective your Yellow Pages ad is? Or how do you know how effective your radio or your TV or your newspaper ad is if you're not tracking it? If you put a coupon in your direct mail piece, it's very easy to track this. For instance, we send out 1,000 pieces. We have a coupon in there. We get 50 back, redeeming the coupon for whatever the offer was. We can say that 5% response rate, or we can indicate we have a quantitative figure for how many responses we had to our direct mail piece. Well, five distinct advantages. You can change it whenever you want to. You can target a specific audience. Your cost per piece may be very low. You can include an offer in the form of a coupon, and it's easy to measure. There are disadvantages to direct mail. Research indicates that during the day, any of us are exposed to between 1,000 and 3,000 advertising messages each day. Can you believe that? 1,000 to 3,000. So when you get home or you get to the office and you've got a pile of mail, direct mail can get lost in the shuffle with everything else, can't it? And it's human nature to take a look and just glance and pass stuff on and throw it in the trash can if we're not interested in taking a look at it. So that's one big disadvantage. Another disadvantage of direct mail is that it can be very expensive. If you've got a customer base of 500 people and you want to send out a four-color brochure, you're probably looking at about $4 per copy to put that in their hands. And the third disadvantage is the fact that direct mail must be presented to the customer on a regular basis. I'll take a look at your customer base for a second. We've got two types of customers, people that have dealt with us on a regular basis or have dealt with us before, and those that have never dealt with us at all. Research indicates that you need, for the people that have never dealt with your company before, you need to make anywhere from 5 to 9 impressions on that customer before they'll even recognize your company. You've got this glut of mail and glut of messages coming in on a regular basis. It's going to take 5 to 9 impressions to make get something to register in that customer's mind if they've never dealt with you before. All the years that I worked in the wholesale industry in Denver, and one of the most frustrating things is that we would sit down with a contractor and we'd decide to put together a direct mail piece. We'd get some co-op money from the suppliers and we'd send this piece out. And we'd follow up in a week or two after it hit the streets and we'd say, how's it going? And the contractor would say, well, I haven't got any response yet. And a month later we'd say, what was the response? And he says, well, nothing at all. I'm never going to do that again. And the frustrating thing was that we thought, you've got to do this at least 2 to 4 times a year on a regular basis to let the customer know who you are. Now, the statistics are a little different when you're dealing with people that have dealt with you already. In this case, it might take only 2 impressions a year to keep in front of them. And I discussed earlier 4 or 5 reasons why you need to deal with your current customer base, and direct mail is a great way to do it. We want to thank them for their business. We want to tell them about products and services we now have available. We want to keep them as customers, and we want to make sure they know of all the, we want to sell them additional options or accessories if we can. So the disadvantage of direct mail is that you're going to have to do this on a regular basis. And when you sit down with your budget and put together a marketing budget and you decide on direct mail, you'd better be committed to at least 1 year's worth of direct mail pieces and the expense of that to make sure that you do it right contacts with your customer. Now, if I've got you sold on the idea that we're going to send out a direct mail piece, the next question is, what do we need to put in it, and how often should we send it out? Well, there's four areas that need to be addressed when we're talking about the direct mail piece itself. And let's talk specifically about a newsletter, because a newsletter is a great way to disseminate information about your people, your products, and your services to your customers. Four areas we're going to need to address. The first one is the design of the piece. The second one is the printing of the piece, the printing costs. Third one is how are you going to label it. And the fourth one is postage. You can do the design of your piece can be done in-house by using a word processing program and a graphics design software program. Maybe you've got somebody that's conversant with computers or you like to work with these. There's a program called Microsoft Publisher, which is a great program for developing newsletters and brochures and so on. It's very easy to work with. It costs about $99. It's a great way to go. If you're doing your own writing of your copy and placing the graphics, your only cost is the amount of time that you spend in-house taking the time to put together this newsletter. If you decide to send out your work, you better figure on $40 to $75 an hour to have it laid out and have somebody write the copy. We're looking at four things for putting together a newsletter. We've designed it either in-house or we've sent it outside to a professional to have it done. Second thing we need to take a look at is to have it printed. Now, if you've got a piece that you want to print one color and you've got a printer that will or a copy machine that will print 11 by 17 sheets, you can run it through and do all your printing in-house, hold it up, put your stamp on it, mail it out, and you've taken care of that cost. If you're going through a professional or a commercial printer, consider the fact that you're going to probably spend anywhere from 6 to 15 cents per item to have it printed. And this will depend on whether you want to go with two colors and you want to add quality paper to the printing job. Should you use two colors? Again, research indicates that people are more apt to read something with at least two colors in it instead of one color. You can actually get three colors out of your piece by using colored paper and then two colors of ink. So you've got three colors that you're putting on this. Now, this is the third thing we need to look at is creating labels for your customer base. You've decided that you want to try some direct mail. You've put together a budget. You know how many dollars you're going to spend, and you're committed to doing this two or four times a year. And you've designed the piece. You've decided to have it printed commercially. You're maybe going to use two colors on a colored paper. The third question that comes up in your mind is, how do I generate these labels? Where do I get my customer list from? Well, as we said earlier in the program, the most important asset that you've got in your company is your customer base. These are the people that deal with you currently. They've dealt with you in the past for whatever reason, and they continue to call you. Maybe they like your service text. Maybe they like the way you handle their service needs on the phone. Maybe they like your prices. Who knows what the reasons are? You do need to know these reasons, but for some reason they're calling you. So you've got an existing customer base that you can create labels for. A box of 500 labels is going to cost you about $15, and the only cost is having the labels printed and then having them stuck on your promotional piece, like your newsletter. Now, let's say that you don't have a customer base handy to work with. You've got a bunch of service tickets, and you've never computerized. You don't have anything where you could draw these labels off automatically. There are local services that will charge you anywhere from 15 to 25 cents to input and entry for the name, address, phone number, zip code, telephone number, whatever you want to put in, and they'll do this input for anywhere from 15 to 25 cents per entry. And they'll charge you another 2 to 5 cents to stick the label on and sort by zip code. So if you're not doing this already, this is available to you as a service. We're talking about your existing customer base right now. Now, let's say that you want to send your marketing piece to somebody you've never dealt with before. You can go to a mailing list company in your town. I'm sure they're listed in Yellow Pages as mailing list companies. And they'll sell you mailing lists for anywhere from $50 per 1,000 on up. The quality of the mailing list is the very most important thing if you're buying a mailing list. You want to know that you're hitting the specific target market that you want to go after. You're not just buying a list of people in a target. You might as well be buying Yellow Pages or radio advertising because you're not specifically hitting your marketplace. We're talking about buying a mailing list from somebody, and if you've got a company in town that you're comfortable with, you can meet all the parameters for what you need, that's the way to go. I find that one of the best resources available is US West Marketing Resources in Denver, Colorado. You can reach them at 1-800-999-4630. What they're doing is they've built a customer base of residential and commercial accounts all over the country. And they've got name, phone number, address, and so on. They'll take this list and they'll sell it to demographic researchers, and they compare notes and they offer different services. For instance, let's say that you're a contractor that you do residential service and installation work, and you decided you're going to do a direct mail piece to your current customer base, but you also want to reach out and touch people that you've never dealt with before. So you need to sit down and decide, what target market do I really want to go after? And this is the beauty of direct mail. We're not just doing a mass mailing. We're specifically targeting as a group, and we're going after that group. I'm going to read you some of the things off the price list here that show how we can break this down. Residential customers, we can break it down by zip code. We can break it down by whether it's a single family or multifamily dwelling. We can decide that we want to market either to males, females, or married couples. We can choose whether they have children in the household or not. We can decide on the number of children they have. We can also set the parameters for the ages of the children, the ages of the adults, the marital status, what occupation the head of the household has, do they own their own home or do they rent, how long have they been in that home, what's their estimated household income, do they buy from direct mail, do they respond to direct mail, do they have credit cards, and what type of vehicle do they drive. Now, this is almost spooky because it's almost too much information, as we know, available for what's going on. But think of your business for a minute. You've decided you want to market to a specific group. You work in the northwest part of town. You want to target markets in the northwest part of town, homes that are maybe $200,000 or more in value. You want incomes of at least $80,000 a year in combined income. This is your target market. When you call up U.S. West Marketing Resources, you can give them these parameters, and before you ever spend a cent, they're going to tell you how many names are in that target market. So instead of a shotgun approach with our marketing efforts from direct mail, we've squeezed this thing down. It's a rifle shot approach. We know specifically which market we want to go after, and we know exactly what parameters we're going to go with that. Now, let's say you're a commercial contractor and you want to do a mailing to commercial customers. They have, in this resource from U.S. West, they also have a whole list of parameters for commercial customers. And I'm going to read off here. The main one would be the SIC, or the Standard Industrial Classification Code. You'll break it down into anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 digits, depending on how specific you want to get with your marketing, with your mailing. You can buy a list that will give you the executive's name. Your list can also tell you the number of employees they have, of course, their telephone number, their fax number, their zip code. What is their annual sales volume? Do they have branches, and where are they located? What's the size of their ad in the paper? All these things will give you the opportunity to, again, do a rifle shot approach when you're sending out your direct mail piece. So instead of doing a mailing to 5 or 10,000 people, you know exactly the market you want to go to, and you can hit this market. Now, the neat thing about the list from U.S. West is the fact that you can buy this list for one-time use, or you can buy it for one-year rental purposes. And they'll send you the names, the database, either on a computer disk in an ASCII file, which you can download to a word processing program that has that capability, and they probably all do. They'll send you that list with pre-printed labels, so you just need to peel them and stick them on. Or they'll send you what they call a galley proof, where it's like a computer printout of all the names that you've requested. But again, the fantastic thing is the fact that you can specify exactly who you want to send this to before you ever do your mailing. Now, what are the costs involved? Well, the minimum cost for any of these price lists is $250. That's the minimum price. And then if you want to use this on a yearly basis, you figure another 75% above that, or about another $180. So it's about $400 a year to get the list. And then you're talking about $55 per 1,000 names. So let's say we want to do a mailing to 3,000 names in northwest part of town for residential. It's going to be $55 times 3, or about $165 for the names, and another $250 for the right to use this list for 1 year. But what I'm getting at is the fact that this is a fantastic way to target a specific market and do your mailing to, whether it's residential or commercial. step back for a second, see where we are. We decided to do a direct mail piece. In this case, we were going after our current customer base, or we're going to go after people we've never dealt with before. We've talked about the importance of dealing with customers that we have in our customer base already. And we've also just now discussed the fact that it's important to target a market if you're going after people you've never dealt with before. We looked at the design of the piece that we put together. We looked at the printing costs. We looked at how much it's going to cost us to label this, put it together, and have it sorted. Final thing we need to look at is how much is postage going to be. These four things all go together to determine what kind of budget we need to do have available to send this piece out. Our first-class mail right now, as we put this tape together, is 29 cents per one-ounce piece. I understand it's going to jump to 31 cents after the start of 1995, so you need to take this into account. If you send your marketing pieces, like a newsletter, by bulk mail, assume that you're going to get up to you will get up to 3.3 ounces per piece, and your cost, depending on where it's going, is going to be anywhere from 15 cents to 21 cents per piece. If you decide to buy a bulk mail permit for your company, it's $75 for the permit, and then the right to use that permit is $75 a year. And after your 1 year is expired, it's another $75. If you don't want to buy a mailing permit, your mailing house will normally let you use their permit from anywhere from $10 to $15. So all of a sudden, we've got a good idea of what it's going to cost us. Now, if I want to do, for instance, a two-color piece on 11 by 17 paper, folded twice, 2,000 copies, mail bulk rate, it's going to cost me approximately 45 to 55 cents per piece, or about $1,100 to mail out 2,000 pieces. I spoke earlier of a contractor in Denver that spends a little over $70,000 on Yellow Pages every year. We started doing the direct mail pieces, the newsletter to his customers, and he's committed to doing it four times a year. It cost him $2,100 to send out 5,000 pieces. And we talked about a month after this happened, and he says he's excited as can be because he's tracked the fact that he sold $4,900 worth of sales so far off that mailing. And he said he's going to take some of his $70,000 and he's going to commit it to direct mail. Now, the next question we've got, you've designed your piece, you've got a budget put together and everything. How often should you send this out? Well, as we discussed earlier, if it's somebody that's never dealt with you before, it's going to take anywhere from 5 to 9 contacts to get an impression. So if you're doing a mailing to this new list of homeowners in the northwest part of town that you've never dealt with before, you better figure on at least 4 contacts a year, at least in the form of direct mail piece. You're doing it to customers that have dealt with you before, maybe 2 times a year. Most of you in this industry that are listening to this tape, you've got seasonal, or at least you have 2 seasons a year, and it's important to highlight the products and services for that particular season. We'll figure at least twice a year that way. How do we get our piece read? Well, let's go back to we talk about 2 direct mail pieces. One of them is a newsletter, and one of them is a brochure. On a newsletter, research indicates that about 20% of your newsletter should be selling products and services. The other 80% should be just general interest information. Now, this is important. You don't want to send something out that just hammers away at the customer and they refuse to read it because they can see through the fact that it's a sales pitch. So figure about 20% of the newsletter is going to be selling something and 80% is general information. By general information, I mean we can have articles in there about employees in a company. You can have articles highlighting customers and how your services or products helped a particular customer with their home or their office. We could take a look at, you could put recipes in there. I've got clients that love to put in a recipe, and a lot of people like this because it's something new. Contractors have put in some funny quotes or something like this, or maybe a story about something that happened to their service techs or one of their employees out on the job. The idea with this is we want to put it in front of our customers on a regular basis, 2 to 4 times a year. We want to let them know that we thank them for their business. We want to let them know about new products and services we have available. We want to humanize or make it very personable to the company, and it's a great way to do it. What we discussed earlier, we opened this tape with the idea that there's a marketing principle called the 4 P's and an S. And I said the 4 P's are the products that you sell, the way you price them, the way you place them or distribute them, the way you promote them, and the way you service your customers. Now, if you were to take a Yellow Pages phone book in your marketplace and open up to the heading where your company is listed. I know in Denver, when you open it up to heating and air conditioning contractors, there are 15 pages of contractors listed in the yellow pages. I come into town from California, just moved into town. I need some service done on my home or my office. I've got 15 pages of opportunities to call somebody. You've got to differentiate your company from the competition. Again, with yellow pages, maybe it's by the size of the ad, the way you place it, the number of colors of the photos you put in. But with direct mail, it's so easy to differentiate your company from the competition because you can alter the type of piece that you send out. And be aware of this, if I had you list the top 10 competitors in your marketplace, how many of your competitors are sending out a direct mail piece right now? I would guess that it's probably less than 2 out of those 10, or about 20%. You're going to differentiate your company just by putting something in your customers' hands on a regular basis. And a newsletter is a great way to do it because you can, as we said, you can alter all the content and everything else that goes into a newsletter. Now, the other direct mail piece that I'd like to discuss is the company brochure. Everybody should have, I think, every company should have something in the way of a company brochure. Now, if I ask for your newsletter, I don't expect to get a hard sell more than maybe 20% of the total content. But if I ask for your brochure, I want to know everything I can about your company. I want to know your capabilities, your people's qualifications, the products you sell, the services you offer, your experiences with different types of applications as far as equipment or whatever. So a brochure is meant to sell your company. Think about it the last time you sat down with a potential customer, and maybe you're in his living room, and he's buying a piece of equipment. He might have anywhere from 3 to 10 proposals from other contractors in front of him. A brochure may be just one great way to differentiate your company from somebody else. Remember, we're always trying to add value to our offering. We want to get a certain price for our products and our services. And you need to differentiate your company, and you need to add value. And one great way to add value or to add credibility to your company is to have some kind of a brochure that lets your customer know who you are and what you do. We'll review where we are right now. We've talked about direct mail pieces, the fact that you've got to come up with, you either need to create it or you have to have somebody professional do it outside your company. You have to have it printed. You need to put some labels on it and determine, are you going to send it to your current customer base or are you going to send it to people you've never dealt with before? And you need to take a look at the postage expenses. And now we're also talking about the two types of direct mail pieces that are very effective, newsletters and company brochures. I hope that I've convinced you that direct mail is a great way to go to market your company to your current customer base and to people who have never dealt with you before. It gives you so much latitude as far as the type of information you put in it, the opportunity to hit a specific target market, and in a lot of cases the cost per direct mail piece is not as expensive as it is advertised in yellow pages or radio, TV, or so on. We've discussed what you need to put in your piece, especially your newsletter and your brochure. We've talked about how you get it read, the fact that you need to put some color on there. You need to make it interesting, lighthearted reading. It's not anything heavy duty for your customers to read. We discussed the cost of going to direct mail and the fact that a typical direct mail piece like a newsletter is going to run anywhere from 45 to 55 cents per piece. Put it in your customers' hands. I had you lead off with questions about your company's financial goals, and we've said that there's two things you might normally look at. One of them is the fact that you want to increase sales and you want to increase profits. You've got two customer bases that you really go after, people who've never dealt with you before and your current customer base. Talked about monitoring and measuring your direct mail pieces and the fact that by putting a coupon or some kind of an offer in there is a great way to get some response immediately where you can measure it in a quantitative manner. Direct mail is a great way to go for your company, and I want to wish you the best of luck in the future with your marketing efforts. Try this out if you haven't done it already, and I think you'll be very pleased with the results. Thank you very much.
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Along with this month's tape, you also receive several other things. There is a short summary of the tape you just heard, a brief outline of the program for quick review, and you will also find a customer response card enclosed. There is a place on the card for your comments on this tape, as well as space for suggestions you would like to make for topics on future tapes. The response card is postage paid, so please write down a few comments and drop it in the mail. We would love to hear from you. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.